Hello and welcome to the Ebony POV, a podcast that talks about everything in the Big Brother universe from an ebony point of view. I'm your host, Michael B., and I'll be here to discuss everything Big Brother, from the fights to the competitions to the house guests and to the strategies, and give a perspective from an African American's point of view. Thank you for joining us, and we can't wait to get started with and talk about everything Big Brother. And welcome back to our daily review of Big Brother All-Stars 2. And today we're going to combine our episode recap with our live feeds recap from yesterday, August 13th. So what that means is we're going to do a quick recap of the highlights that happened from the eviction episode, our first ever eviction episode of Big Brother All-Stars 2 that happened yesterday. But we'll also combine what happened yesterday in the feeds as well as late into the night, because as you know, what happens during the live feeds during eviction day is that they cut out a lot, and there really isn't a lot to observe at the most part, because they will cut it out so many hours before the eviction episode to save that time and to allow, I guess, the house guests to decompress and get ready for the live taping. Now, it's a little bit different this time, because what we found out that, I guess, because of precautions, what they're actually doing is doing it like BB can. At least they did for this first eviction. So they actually pre-taped the episode, live to tape, I believe. And then when 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time came on, it was out. People, by that time, people already had spoilers as who, not only who went out, but who was HOH. Now, I didn't pay attention to the spoilers because I assumed it was going to be live like usual. But it wasn't. It was live to tape, and the spoilers were right. But we're going to get into that, and then we're going to have our final ranking. And of course, this is going to be the last time of the live feeds ranking that we'll have all 16 house guests. I'll explain once we get to that how we're going to move forward with the rankings for the live feeds from now on. But first, let's get into the highlights of the episode. All right, because of the way it was taped, there wasn't a lot of segments that were in the episode pre-eviction, because they had to make room for the actual eviction process as well as the HOH competition, which I am surprised they actually finished from beginning to end on the episode instead of, you know, leaving us hanging like they have been doing a lot for the past couple of years. So I will say, before I get into the highlights, I am surprised what they didn't include in this episode was the celebration of Kazar's birthday. We basically got the Cody Memphis Alliance and some other things, but that's probably one of the things I missed from that episode. But let's get into what we did see. What we did say is an official solidification of the Cody and Memphis relationship and working relationship and alliance before the eviction. And all things considered, that was a good thing on Cody's part. We did see that they were talking about what happened kind of early in the feeds, who they wanted to align with, who they wanted to have the six, but they would also have a core four. So for some people's faves, this alliance may not bode well, but it is officially solidified, while other people were kind of sort of waffling on whether they want to be alliance or not. Another alliance that solidified more is the Tyler and Bailey convo. Now, we've known since week one that they have talked about working together, talking about forgetting the past and working things toward the future. We know we had a moment with Tyler and Bailey on the feeds where they talked about the situation of how Bailey got evicted, and they had a very emotional moment. And they cut out on part of it, so we didn't know that they were still fighting, but they were making up more than they already were. Like I said, we kind of thought that they were already together on this, but it does help solidify the relationship. And I think one of the good things that's going to come out of Big Brother All-Stars, besides an eventual winner, is the mending of this relationship. And people, I know in BB20 were fans of the Tyler Bate relationship, even if it was somewhat seemed somewhat fake on Tyler's side. But people are glad that they're actually mending fences. So we get to see that this could be the hidden duo that we need to watch, even more so than Bailey and Devon. Because if Tyler holds true to protecting Bailey, at least, you know, at least during these early evictions, they could be a hidden force to be reckoned with that no one sees coming. So I am excited about this. Like I said, we don't really get them to talk much. They do touch base on the feeds, but we don't get to see them talk much. So I'm glad they got showed that this relationship is actually happening on the episode. And then, of course, the main thing that happened in the episode after those two main conversations was the eviction of Keisha and the HOH competition. So let's talk about that. You know, they got a chance to do their final pleas to the house guests, which, like I said, I'm still upset that they didn't do the final pleas for the veto ceremony on Wednesday. But we got to see the final pleas, and probably the biggest thing to come out of that is Keisha says that I wish the best of luck to most of you. In other words, she has who she thinks are enemies in the house. She has who she thinks feels betrayed her. Like, and as of right now, I do believe that the people that she actually feels that were really close to was Devon and Janelle, who did end up telling her before she left that they didn't have the votes for her to stay. And of course, usually what that means is when you don't have the votes for her to stay, everybody votes with the house. Even though if they really just voted how they wanted to vote, it probably would have been a closer vote. But when they actually did vote after the final pleas, it was unanimous for Keisha to go. And I personally do not like that. Like I said, I'm rooting for Bailey and Devon and a few other people before Keisha. But Keisha, with her legendary performance in BB10 and being an all-star, and after being away for so many years, did not deserve to go out first. And go out through a unanimous vote. That being said, remember, I believe that there is a pre-jury buyback. And even though there's a screenshot of her Instagram account that's on Twitter right now, I also believe that there's still going to be a chance for Keisha to come back in the house with a pre-jury buyback. I'm almost certain it's going to happen. It's not 99 days, it's 85 days. So it's not as long as it usually is, but it's still long enough for a buyback to happen. The question is, does CBS want the buyback pre-jury or jury? They probably might want it jury. I think it would be smarter for them to actually do it pre-jury and then just let the jury play out, because we really need the aggressive gameplay in the later part of the game than we do in doing the first part. But we'll see where that goes. But I will say, I don't believe we've seen the last of Keisha on this show. And I don't mean just a finale. I think there is a chance for her to play in a competition to come back. But we'll have to wait and see what happens, because what did happen on the show is in a competition for the new HOH. And it was a quiz competition, just like we expected. And once I saw that, I literally said, uh-oh, because I thought Janelle and Kesar have it. They're known for winning these competitions. And in fact, it would have been interesting if Kesar became the second HOH for the third time in a row since he's played. But alas, that didn't happen. He was eliminated first along with David. They had to watch up to two videos, and as well, in one of those recall videos, we have to recall details, and they were answered true or false. That being said, I didn't like the performer, even though I know he played the alien last year. I was like, this is kind of, and it's kind of weird, and they expected to be funny. They expected the contestants, house guests to laugh. Because they were doing the competition, they didn't laugh at all. They were paying attention. I mean, you even had Devon actually trying to mimic the moves of the video and even like do the dances, trying to make sure she would know. So like, I like give it to Devon. She lasted as long as she did. And when Memphis eventually was the winner, he was the only one that got the last answer right. And so I think it was question six. They had to go up to seven questions. And I think it was question six, but it was kind of said, it was kind of interesting that they all lasted to that time. So they were paying attention. I have to give it to them. It could have been easily one of those competitions where all of two questions and everybody else was eliminated. It could have been seriously that quick. But they did last, I think, until like six questions that was supposed to be out of a possible seven. And of course, there would have been a tiebreaker question after that. But congratulations to Memphis for winning the HOH. And now that I've said that, I don't like Memphis winning the HOH. You know, like I said, my favorites are Bayley and Devon, and that was the worst possible outcome we could have had for Memphis to win that. Now, if you've been paying attention to the feeds, we know that Memphis initially was considering Ian, and with Nicole A as a pawn, or Bayley as a pawn. But I don't want Bayley and Devon to be in danger, but I believe of all people, Memphis with his full self will end up nominating either Bayley and Devon together, or either one of the three, or David. And it's not a good look for him. It's not a good look at all. But it's even worse than I thought. Not necessarily like all bad, but worse than I thought once we actually got to see the feeds after the eviction episode. So we'll get into that next. All right, real quick before we get our final week one rankings, let's talk about what happened at the live and the live feeds, both before the eviction episode as well as after. So, but like I said, the first thing that happened was that when Memphis won HOH, people got to see his HOH room. And it's interesting, a fact that I forgot about is that Memphis won some competitions. He even won the very first competition, winning a car in HOH. But the one thing he didn't win was HOH. He won vetoes, he won that car, but he never won an HOH competition. Now with Dan and some of his other allies like Keisha winning the HOH competitions in season 10, he had plenty of time in the HOH room, but he never owned the HOH room for a week. So that is interesting on the plus side for him. So, you know, I'm happy for him that he did that. However, like, I'll be honest, I am, as a person who's, you know, personally rooting for Bayley and Devon and a few other people, Memphis HOH was the worst possible outcome. I don't like it, personally. I don't think he'll play it well, personally or not, just because his ego was starting to already rise up, as well as his attitude starting to show anyway. So Memphis will have the first case of all-star HOH-itis. You've heard it here first. Mark it down, you know, put it in your Notion calendar. Memphis will have HOH-itis if he doesn't have it already. He already started by when he was allowed to pick have-nots. He made it a point to talk to Kazar earlier in the feed and after the eviction episode that he wanted to target David. And the best way to target David, in his opinion, was to make him mad, make him blow up, make people give a reason to vote him out. So he made a point to say mean things to him as a reason to make him a have-not. David was devastated, and it's kind of interesting. I've had him, you know, middle of the rankings so far because people disregard him, but don't disregard him enough to think that he's a nomination that they have to do. Memphis is not like that. And it's not going to look for Memphis online, even if they edit the episodes right now. At least what we've seen, like I said, the house guests are just now waking up. So it's not, we haven't seen them do much play today, but and strategizing. But the way he talked to David to make him have not is not going well. Also added the fact that he put Kevin back as a have not. So you have two other black people in the house, one who was already a have not with Memphis on the first week, put him back as a have not again. I guess that means we're not going to see a Nita Vito in a regular house room, which reminds me of another thing on the feeds that happened yesterday. Nita Vito finally made her debut inside of the Big Brother house. So if they don't show this on the Sunday episode, and they have to, it'll technically be out of the timeline, but they have to show the appearance of Nita Vito in the have not room with Devon and Nicole Anthony. They have to show it. That was definitely something that was hilarious on late Wednesday night. And I think Kevin knew that in order to really secure the votes, he had to show how funny he was. So making sure he's talking with Devon and Nicole A worked, even though what Devon did Thursday morning was almost ingenious, but we'll get to that when we get to the rankings. Another thing that happened in the live feeds was after the eviction episode was a Kesar, Janelle, and Nicole A conversation where they talked about they needed to form together and work together in order to protect themselves. Kesar and Janelle did not want to commit officially to an alliance with Nicole A, which is good because Nicole A has been talking about Janelle with misguided information, but at the same time, it's interesting, they're not willing to work with newer people. Kesar and Janelle feel like they have to work with the more older seasoned people and mid-season, more established people to try and fight it out, weed out the weak people, as they call it, and then battle it to the end, which is not the way it's worked. But at least Kesar and Janelle are actually trying to make, you know, connections with other people in the house outside of the older people, and they have with Bailey and Davon, but they really haven't done much with, I would say, with in my opinion, with Kevin and with Nicole and with David to a degree, as they much have had with other people. So, and the last thing, one of the last thing we want to talk about in the live feeds from last night after the eviction episode was Cody and Memphis conversation part two, where they talk about Noms. Like I said before the feeds went down, before the eviction episode, it was looking like if Memphis were to get HOH, he would nominate Ian with Nicole Anthony as a pawn, or Nicole or Bailey as a pawn. Now it looks like his target is David. He, thanks to Cody, at least for the moment, he probably will not go after Ian. At least probably will not consider it again until after the safety suite results. But it looks like David is a target. Kevin may be a pawn again, like I predicted that could possibly happen. Or he may put Bailey and Davon together, because Danny Donato is still saying that we need to split Bailey and Davon up, which I don't like. Memphis is playing this all the way wrong. If he puts two black people or one black person on the box, it doesn't matter if he wins. He becomes the next Jackson. And it looks like that's what he's going to be. But that's some of the main things that happened on the feeds last night. Hopefully, we'll see a lot more gameplay to see what happens. Today should probably be a very fast day. Also a day where the feeds are low, because they have to do both the safety suite as well as the nominations today. So Friday night should definitely be a sight to see on the feeds today with Memphis's HOH, but I don't expect a whole lot of stuff to happen during the day yet. People are still going to play KG, people are still going to play, you know, reserved, at least until after nominations, and that's not going to be for a while, but we'll keep you updated. But right now, let's get to the final rankings for week one. All right, so here we are at the final week one ratings for the season. Again, this is still going to be like as if for the live feeds. We won't be doing this for the episode. However, this will be the last time all 16 house guests will be on the rankings. After today, of course, we'll only have 15 players. So at this point, we'll only have three in the bottom tier. But I still want to group them as the bottom tier, the struggle tier, the underdog tier, and then of course the fantastic tier. So when we say the bottom, from now on, instead of saying the bottom four, we will say the bottom. And then from that point, we will go on with the other names as we see fit. So let's get started. At number 16, obviously, we have to put Keisha last. It was such a shame seeing her go. I hated seeing that tear stain on her mask when she was talking with Julie for her final interview, because, you know, because of COVID reasons, she didn't even get to have a hug from Julie, or even shake the hand as some people would do, which was, you know, for safety concerns, nothing wrong with that. But you could tell, even though she didn't fight as well as she could have to stay in the house, you can tell that she still wanted to not only play the game, but also learn more from people and actually know people. So I do think Keisha will definitely, if she's not in a buyback, which I believe she is, will definitely want to make sure she keeps touch with Davon and with Janelle and probably a few other people. But, you know, it's kind of probably different for her because she lasted almost the whole time and was able, even with all the arguments, to talk with people from her season after it was over. So she wasn't as close to people this time, but the people that she did truly make connections with, I know she cherished. So thank you, Keisha, for playing. And like I said, in my opinion, you'll be back at least for a competition. It makes no sense, because even if there is no buyback, even Allison on the first All-Stars was a part of that little All-Stars prank, which they will probably redo. But for now, we just have to say, see you later, because if nothing else, we'll see you at the finale in October. But at number 15, we have Nicole Anthony. Now, because of the influences in the ear of Keisha, in the ear of Memphis as the new HOH, I do think she'll probably possibly be safe from initial nomination this week. But even with the connection she's made with Janelle and Kazar, she's looking for 2 months, and she's very, very determined to work with Kevin. One of the things about that Janelle, Kazar, and Nicole A conversation, that she wanted to include Kevin in this new alliance with the Soft Six. They said no to Kevin. What they did say yes to is Bay and Day. And I think that's going to be a sore point for her, because even though she has relationships with other people, it seems that Kevin is going to be your number one because she worked so hard to try and keep him to stay. And that may be a detriment, because Kevin is cutthroat. Kevin will turn on people. I don't necessarily think it'll be Nicole Anthony that he turns on, at least not at this point in the game. But if he had to, he definitely will. Simple as that. And at number 14, I do put Kevin. Yes, he stayed off. He stayed in the house. Great for him. But now that he has, you know, warmed the nomination block, he can easily be seen as a pawn, if not a threat. And now that he may... And my fear for Kevin is he really hasn't, he's promised the world everything, and people will remember that in order to stay. And in the end, had nothing to do with his promises. They just wanted Keisha gone because they believed it would weaken Janelle and Kesar. But what may happen with him is that they will call him on his promises and he'll buck, because Kevin likes to buck, and he likes to do it underhandedly. Or like he'll just end up saying the wrong things. Once he starts feeling safe in the house, he'll start, you know, being old gossipy Kevin, and then his mouth will get him in trouble. So he, like I said, I don't feel he's at the worst position with the Memphis HOH, but he is there because it's Memphis, and Memphis has the idea who should be in the house and who shouldn't. And it just so happens that everybody he thinks should be in the house is white. But that's how Memphis is. I just hope and pray that all four black people who are still in the house are able to survive this eviction. If he's able to try and work with Kazar, she'll be able to try and work with the four and get one of them out. But we'll see what happens. Number 13 is Ian. Like I said, Ian was his initial target. Ian is the one to go. Ian is the one that makes sense to him. Because think about it. One, Ian is a winner. Two, Ian did what Memphis didn't. He beat Dan in the final two. And that probably personally irks him more than anything. Remember, Dan beat Memphis unanimously, the first ever unanimous Big Brother final vote. And that still hurts him because he thinks his game is better than it actually is. So when he sees Ian, he sees his loss and what could have happened. After the fact that he's a winner, it makes more sense, and he can't relate to him because, you know, they're so two different people. It makes more than enough sense that Ian would be his number one target. Now, the way that people have been talking, Ian may not be the case, but I think it's smart for Memphis to say, I have possibilities. I won't say anything solid until the safety suite is over, because then I know who I can't put up for a nomination. So I'm assuming that Ian is going to play. I think it'd be safe for him to play. But even if he survives this week, he still needs to make those more social connections that help other people's strategic game, so they'll think of him as more valuable and not just a winner, a previous winner that they need to get out in order to win the game. He's not doing that right now. Even though socially he's better, he still needs to make those strategic connections, not just social connections. And that's why I have him there still at the bottom four. So now that we've talked about the bottom four, let's talk about the struggle four. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this group of people will still be four people until we actually get down to 12 people. So, but right now we'll still be having the struggle four at four. And the beginning of the struggle four is with number 12 and Nicole Frenzel. Nicole Frenzel's target is getting bigger and bigger. The longer she stays in the house, the more she will irritate people like Nicole F, excuse me, like Janelle, like Davon, like Nicole A. She's getting more and more enemies in the house, and Cody's one of those people that he can live with not keeping Janelle as far as possible, because in the end he's here for himself. If he has to, he'll cut her. I think Ian, her alliance with Ian, is probably going to probably help protect her more than her alliance with Cody, due to the simple fact that they know they can probably only win. There's only best chance for them winning is for two winners to go to the final two. Then they just have to choose between the best game. Most people will reward, unless it's really extravagant, they'll reward the person who didn't win the game once. But with the way socially that Nicole F is playing, talking about Janelle behind her back almost every chance she gets, and then talking with other people, like her stock is going down. Fortunately for her, she is starting to get a little more invisible, especially with two guys winning the first two HOHs. That is going in her favor, but her connection to Cody and who she talks to, which can easily be seen, is what's keeping her game down. I don't think she'll be initial nom this week, depending on the way the week goes. Memphis is not as trusting of her, so who knows? Because he trusts maybe Christmas and Danny Donato more, it's a possibility that Nicole F could be a possible renomination if because of the safety tweak, the options are not there, and the power of veto takes away more options. There is a possibility that up to four people, four of Memphis's choices could end up being safe this week, with two people possibly safe through power veto, and of course with the safety suite. So she's there as a possibility. Even though I do expect that she should stay this week, the point is, like, she'll be, if she's playing the way that she did the first week, she'll even be more of danger. She's even more in need of trying to win the HOH if she plays the same. So let's go to another 11, the one I kind of a little bit sad about and I didn't think I would be, which is David. Like I said, David at this point, as of last night, or early this morning rather, after midnight, is the main target. He is the one that Memphis wants to get out. He's the one that Memphis wants to make to break, so he'll be seen as a target, and then everybody will get on him. It's a big mistake. Hopefully somebody will talk him out of it. But if Memphis continues with this plan, it's going to hurt Memphis' game in the long run. Especially since David doesn't know what he did wrong. David has talked with everybody. I would say that of all the guys, he's probably talked with Memphis the least. Probably between him and Ian. So the social connection isn't there as it is with others. That being said, David is not taking this well. So David may not break, but he may pull himself away from everybody because he's never had to handle eviction like this. When he got ousted from the house, it was immediate. He never had to deal with being a target. He never had to talk to the HOH. He never had to deal with the whole week thinking that everybody wants you out and they're just going through the motions. He was immediately gone, and then he came in being able to try to start a possible game with no consequences. He had nothing to lose. If he didn't win this competition, then he would be out. But if he did win, he wanted to set up some game in order to do that. He even had to talk this morning with his brother Antonio online, saying he can't read the house like he used to. So I feel sorry for David, and even if he does come out of this week, still in the house, this is a possibility that could damage him. Now we'll see how the day goes, both with his social gameplay as well as what actually happens with the nominations. But just this initial fact of him seeing things break down for him so quickly, and his emotional response to it that they've shown in pictures and video online, is definitely not going good for him. However, if he survives this week, it may bring out a fight in him that we haven't seen before. But for right now, he's of the possible nominees, like, he is right there down in the dumps. If he keeps pulling away from this, even though it may not break him, it make Memphis's reasoning easier to put him on the block, just like one at number 10, which is Christmas. Now, Christmas has been slowly but surely getting on people's nerves, and slowly but surely showing the attitude that she had in BB19. I definitely believe she's been doing well. She's been trying her best, but it's going to blow up soon. So it's kind of interesting. Memphis wanted somebody to break and blow up to make an easy target, and he wants it to be David. I don't think it's going to be David. I think it's going to be Christmas, and Memphis is going to miss the boat and put all his stock in shooting David in the foot when he should be shooting Christmas in the foot. Especially because, even though that may not be the best move, but Christmas herself has not really gone forward. She did great in the first couple of days, but it seems like she's stagnant. It's not like her social game is bad, it's just that people are starting to see through it. And Christmas, you know, is a businesswoman, a salesman. So maybe, I think what's happening is that she has taken herself out of the personal persona and gone back into the salesman persona that she presents to herself, to her customers, to her subscribers, to her exercise videos. She's showing more of that persona right now than she is of the real Christmas, and people are starting to see that. They may not have pinpoint what that is, but they're getting the salesman version of Christmas instead of the real Christmas. Add the fact that her temperature is brewing, and that, you know, she did make a case to try and influence the game and have Keisha stay, and then have it blow up in her face, and now people are blaming her for it. And like I said, and the best part about that is, we'll get to later in the rankings, but she's kind of in danger. I do believe that she will stay this week, but I do believe that people are catching on to Christmas. So if she decides to play the exact same way in the first week, she may survive, but she'll definitely be in trouble in week 3. And then number 9 is our current HOH, Memphis. I mean, I have to be honest, me personally, I don't like the way he's playing. I think he's all right as a person, but the way he's playing this bully game, especially after a season that we had the bullies run the house, and he's trying to frame Memphis and Cody and whoever else to work with him as the same way, it's not going to go well for Memphis. Memphis, I believe, definitely is going to get HOH-itis. So while he is obviously 100% safe this week as the HOH, he is setting himself up for a very bad week 3 and week 4, because people are going to remember how he plays this week. And just like Janelle talked about last week, we shouldn't have to do what the HOH wants. It won't apply with Cody because he's too likable. But this HOH, it's definitely going to be some problems. And, you know, as a fan, I can't wait to see it, because, you know, if you act ignorant in the house, then you deserve to get got the next week. It's simple as that. But we'll see what happens with Memphis. But right now, his game is struggling, and winning HOH and putting the spotlight on himself, even if he's never won HOH before, was not the right move, in my opinion. He should have thrown it. Simple as that. But he didn't. So now he needs to play it cool. If he does not, he'll definitely be in the hot seat come week 3. And that's who I have for the struggle 4. All right, so let's get into the underdog 4 for any of the week and the beginning of this week's feeds. So at number 8, I have Enzo. Now, Enzo didn't burn as many bridges as I thought because of the way he played Kevin with the POV ceremony. But there are still people that are trying to not include him in the inner circle of these alliances. Like I said, there's a lot of interlapping alliances around, and Cody and Enzo have, in a sense, you know, have two main ones. But of everybody else that are in one of those two alliances, Enzo is not number one or number two. And they know that Enzo can play sneaky when he wants to be. They have eyes on him. Case Arginelle talked about it. Like, even though they're kind of oblivious to what Enzo is playing, right now, they don't have him on the number ones. And two, he's so ingrained with Cody that they would probably would take a shot at him, get him in order to get Cody. But he's still on the underdog four because he's still riding high on his POV win. So now he, at least for this next week, can be considered a comp threat. He also, the fact, has not played the safety suite yet. So besides him playing a good social game, which he has been doing, if he actually wins another competition this week, whether it be the safety suite or the POV, he's going to be making a case for himself. But he's definitely seen the inner works. He has alliances, but he knows who he can trust and who he really can't trust in the alliance. He is loyal to Cody, but he has people that after Cody, he'd be loyal to and have their back. So there's nothing wrong with that. He is still number eight because he's still insulated good, and I think he's playing one of the best social games in the house. Which leads me to number seven, Cody. Like I said, Cody's first HOH should have been bad because taking out a literal America's fan favorite in Keisha. However, his best move right now, what I think is going to happen, while still talking with Memphis, giving Memphis advice, laying low, and he's going to try and be a part of the house now, which is going to be good. And he definitely needs to go ahead and keep in touch with Enzo. Also, definitely keep in touch with Bayley and Devon. So he's in a good position to actually rise up because I believe Memphis is going to take all of the negative spotlight on himself. And if that happens, the best thing he can do is to let Memphis do it and stay out of the negative part. Cody has done that before, so in season 16, so he has the ability to do it. We'll see what happens. But overall, this specifically with all that happens, people are still wanting to work with him, even though they wanted Keisha to stay. So you have to put him in at the undercover four at seven. The problem is Cody is Cody. He is still a comp threat target. So don't be surprised if the first chance people get in week three, they may throw him up. Even if it means somebody that they know he's close to get them out to weaken him. So we'll see what happens. And number six, I have Danny Donato. Now, I couldn't fight anymore. I have to acknowledge the fact that even though Danny Donato is playing that rat game and she's talking too much to people and people are slowly starting to put things together when it comes to her, she's still in a place where nobody's going to immediately target her. And she's also in a place where, I guess, part two of her gameplay is to make sure she knows where all the bodies are buried. So if anybody does try to target her, when she opens her mouth, everybody going down. Simple as that. But she's not there yet. But she is well enough that people, when she presents herself in a more friendly way, people are still receptive of it. Janelle still talks to her. Christmas still talks to her. Even though Danny believes that Nicole F is not to be trusted as much anymore, they still have a good relationship. And of course, the fact that she really wants to break up Bayley and Devon, she still makes a point to talk to them more. I think she is probably more threatened by people like Keisha and Janelle than Bayley and Devon. She's more threatened by Bayley and Devon as a duo than them individually. And like I said, I do believe her plan is as soon as one of them goes, she's going to scoop the other one up and let them be her Kayla for the All-Star season, if that happens. But again, like I said, there are negative seeds there, but still mostly positive seeds for Danny. So I'm going to have to give it to her and put her in the undercover four. Now, how this plays with Memphis and Danielle is interesting because I believe they're the one that talked the most negative stuff about people, and they've been the one in power. So we'll see how it plays out this week. But right now, especially what I'm thinking is she still has people that are bigger targets than her in the house. That's how I put her in the undercover Undercover 4, along with number 5, Kasar. So I have to give it to Kasar. I've had him pretty low, just like Danny Donato in the first week. But if he can actually get out of this week, even the initial nominations, not being nominated all by Memphis, regardless of how Memphis is playing, that's good, because that means he can start to build an army. And I think they already technically started to do that with Nicole A. He's definitely going to talk more strategic game with Bailey and Devon. With Janelle by his side, he can actually situate himself. If he actually gets through this week, and it's actually a possibility, get through this week without being nominated, this is going to be golden for him. Because we all know that we all thought if Kasar and Janelle didn't win it, they're on the block. Whether they go home or not is a different story, but they're on the block. But it looks like they will actually avoid the block. So you have to give it up for Kasar to finally get it through his head to work with everybody, not just the people that he perceives are big threats to get out the weak people. It took a lot of convincing from Janelle to do it, but he's actually doing it. So we'll see how it holds once the safety suite plays today, and of course with the actual nominations. But I do believe he's actually in a spot where he actually will not get nominated this week. I think that's awesome. And that's why he's at the top of the Underdog 4. All right, so here we are at the Fantastic 4. And let me tell you, first off, we actually have a new number 1. And even with everything that happened from the beginning of last week up until the eviction episode, you know who I've had at number 1. But we have a new number 1. So let's get into them real quick. At number 4, though, I have Janelle. She dropped down a little bit. Because I feel like on an individual level, she is, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, she's running her mouth off more. The fact that she didn't win HOH does put her in a little bit of trouble. But now that she's out of the safety suite costume, she can definitely find a way to work more with more people. And I think she's definitely working to work more people kind of outside of Kasar, because Kasar, her alliance with him is a given. There's no way around that. But again, just like I talked with Kasar, I thought, just like everybody else, if Kasar and Janelle don't win HOH, they're on the block. Simple as that. They're both comp B, so it's not like they can't stay and possibly pull votes for them to keep both of them. But I thought they'd obviously be the number 1 choice to be nominated if they didn't win HOH. Like I said, now it looks like Kasar and Janelle are going to barely, but stay completely from the block this week, at least up to this point. And it's interesting, because one, they can't play safety suite. They both did it. So if nothing else, those two will always be possibilities for eviction, at least up until the power of veto. And then the fact that since Memphis is not targeting them, they can actually put their hooks in and really start to work this game to play it the old school way. But Janelle is number 4 because, again, I've always felt that Kasar is less safe than Janelle in any situation, and that's still the case. So the fact that she gets a chance to really put her hooks in everybody and really be the you know, Janelle that we've seen of days of old, I have to put her at least at number 4, the Fantastic 4, because once she puts her hooks in, she's going for the long haul. She did it twice, and they were lucky to get her out as soon as she was eligible in season 14. I don't think it's going to happen this time. And speaking of people that go the long route, let's look at number 3, Tyler. So I think Tyler finished the week strong. Tyler has been looked at, though, but he has a good social game that they're not going to be, they're not bold enough. They don't have the cojones to target him, but they should. Just like they put Allison and Danielle Reyes on the block first week in the official All-Stars, he should have been the first one on the block, right next to Cody, if he would have been eligible, but he's not. But now would be the time. Now that you've gotten through the first week and got the jitters out, you need to start building your resume. And building your resume is to take out the people that you feel are the most hungry. Tyler as a runner-up should be one of the most hungry to do it. Just like Cody. And then people also did final three, like Nicole Anthony and Janelle. They are more desperate. Memphis too, but he's HOH, so there's nothing you can do about him this week. But Tyler should be someone they should be targeting more, but they're not. Because for whatever reason, they love him so much, and he's starting to get his hooks in. Now, there's always been jokes that we can't let him get too far. There's a joke that he probably has final tooth with everybody. They're kind of aware of that, but at the same time, they're letting him get further in the game when they shouldn't. And that's a good point for Tyler, being able to establish those bonds again so quickly. And then he also has his secret weapon in Bailey. That people don't know. And then he has one. He also has a secret line for Christmas that no one thinks about. But Christmas is not holding her own at this game. He'll probably have to bail her out once, and probably will then realize that she's more dead weight to him. But I think his talks with the people, even if they're starting to doubt him, like Cody and Enzo and Memphis, the bonds are still there. And then his secret alliance with Bailey is actually going to work to his advantage. Which brings us to number two. So I told you we have a new number one. And if you haven't guessed it yet, well, I'll officially announce it in a second. But let's give it up for number two, for Bailey. Now, I've had Bailey in number one almost all the week last week. And make no mistake, even with all that Memphis is going on, I don't think she's going to go home. Even if she does end up touching the block, even if she touches the block with her for real ride or die, I don't think she's going to go home. That being said, it is going to present some things if she is on the block and, you know, gets that nervousness that she does and starts playing from that. But besides that, Bailey has played as best as she could. Like, she still actually has a real relationship with Tyler. She people still all want to work with her. I guess Memphis not so much anymore after Danny Donato shut it down. But at the same time, she still has people like Nicole Anthony, like Kevin, like Kazar and Janelle, all wanting to work with her. I don't think she's in immediate danger. Even I do believe she could be a possible nomination on the bot. Add the fact that she can win competitions. It wouldn't be surprised that out of possible fear, she ends up in the safety suite. And considering competition like they did last time, is a possibility that she could win. Very simple. And if she wins, of course, she's going to save our number one pick for the week, which is Davon. So I'm so glad to actually have Davon at number one. And you're probably wondering why. Now, nothing has changed from the last week. She has social connections with people. She has in some strategic alliances, not on the top of them, but kind of in the middle on the bottom, which makes her less dangerous than some of the other people. And of course, she has her final deal with Bailey. So why is she number one? Because she almost pulled off the upset of getting Keisha to get on the block. She went and went around and started polling for votes. And of course, she didn't do it directly. She talked about, what are we going to keep Keisha? And the problem is that people were wondering, why is Davon doing this? So what did she do? She created this big lie that it was Christmas that started the Save Keisha campaign, not her. And she got away with it. That is the main reason why she's number one. We just had that little glimpse of the old school Davon putting some doubt and putting target on others. It was just a little bit, but we had enough. That means that shows that she has the capability to actually undercut some people in this game, and I can't wait to see it. But just for that alone, at least for the live feed today, that's why she's going to be number one. Also, add to the fact that of the two people, if Memphis decides to do Bailey and Davon, he's going to want Bailey to go. So even though she's on the block, she's safer than Bailey at this point. But again, with everybody wanting to work with Davon and everybody wanting to protect her and Bailey, she deserves to be number one on this list. And that's why she's at the top of the Fantastic Four. All right. So that is it for this episode of the Ebony POV. It was a great episode last last night, at least the eviction and nomination. I hope that they actually try to put more stuff in the episode. And I kind of miss now putting more stuff where they elongate the eviction and, you know, let the head of household competition bleed into the live feeds. We definitely probably will see that next Thursday. But it was a great episode, and we definitely got to see finally like some for real gameplay on the live feeds last night. So because if you like a messy week, I have I really think it's going to be a messy week on the feeds this week with Memphis's possible HOH-itis and the new forming of some of these alliances. So I can't wait to see what happens this week. So if you want to follow with us as we talk about the live feeds every day, please make sure you subscribe to the Ebony POV. Like I said, we're available on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, as well as Apple Podcasts and all other major podcast networks. And as always, the Ebony POV is a part of SoWrongForThat.com. So please follow us, SoWrongForThat.com, on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram at SoWrongForThat. The new updates now that we'll be starting to do some updates as well on TV.co. So please watch for that. Once that officially is done, we'll let you know about that. And we'll announce it on tomorrow's episode or Sunday's episode. But for right now, thank you so much again for joining us for the Ebony POV. I'm your host, Michael B., and we'll see you next time.